The following is a presentation from Bethel Baptist Church and Pastor Al Feary.
Come to the Savior, make no delay. Here in this word he showed us the way. Supernal from his precious hand I receive. heaven came down and glory filled my soul. When at the cross the Savior made me whole, my sins were washed away and my night was turned to day. Heaven came down and glory filled my soul.
We'll stand together, 522, anywhere with Jesus, 522.
Glad that you're here. We're going to have a good time together in the house of the Lord. Let me remind you of a couple things. Coming up in just about a month, we'll have our 83rd anniversary services at Bethel Baptist Church. Good to have Brother Gord and Jocelyn Connor coming from Vancouver to be our keynote speaker, as well as the Calvary Quartet will be back. We always enjoy having the quartet here with us, and so that'll be a great time. Mark your calendars for that weekend, all right? Also good to have a guest with us tonight, Eleanor Friesen. And her husband Jeff, they pastor the Valley View Baptist Church of Creston, B.C. And that's right there. How many of you have heard of Bountiful, B.C.? That's a big Mormon community. It's right there, right next to Creston. So they have their work cut out for them, a lot of spiritual darkness there. And I want you to be praying for the Valley View Baptist Church. This is Mrs. Traver's daughter, Joanne's sister, and all the rest. And so we're glad that you're here. Would you give us a couple prayer requests for your church, and we'll take them to the Lord tonight.
Good.
Good. So doing an evangelism lit across the town, door hangers everywhere that will happen in the community, pray for that, as well as the Thanksgiving dinner where they invite the community and lots of visitors. So let's pray for that as well.
Brother Chandler, would you lead some prayer? Remember the Valley View Baptist Church, if you would. Amen. You may be seated. Thank you. Your hymn books again, please. 588. 588. Let's stand as we sing, "My Sins Are Gone." Aren't you glad for that tonight? 588. Let's sing it together, "My Sins Are Gone."
Wisdom.
Let's take our Bibles tonight. Please turn to Mark chapter 7. Mark chapter 7. This morning we looked at portraits of Christ, Jesus, the lover of my soul. If you were not in the service, perhaps you're in the junior church or something, much of the message centered around how the Lord knows our heart. He knows our thoughts. He knows our mind. He knows the intents of our hearts. And because of that, we found that Jesus loved us anyway. It was an amazing thought to consider in light of all that we looked at. But tonight, I felt like the Lord would have us look at a little bit more about that topic, about the battle for the mind. The battle for the mind. I did not want to describe a problem this morning without giving you the biblical answer. Some of us are trapped, and some of you are trapped, and we wonder, you know, I struggle with my thought life. I struggle with anger. I struggle with the things that I look at and the things that I listen to and the things that are entering into my mind. And how can I overcome those things? And so we want to look at some scripture tonight. We're just going to have 2 points. First, we're going to look at our dilemma. And then we're going to look at our defense. Our dilemma and our defense. Our defense will have quite a bit to it, a lot of scripture tonight, so limber up your fingers a little bit and get ready to turn your Bibles. I think that's good that we get into the Word of God and study these things out. Mark chapter 7, let's read our scripture tonight. Then came together unto him the Pharisees and certain of the scribes which came from Jerusalem, and when they saw some of his disciples eat bread with defiled, that is to say, with unwashen hands, they found fault. For the Pharisees and all the Jews, except they wash their hands oft, eat not, holding the tradition of the elders. And when they come from the market, except they wash, they eat not. And many other things there be which they have received to hold, as the washing of cups and pots, brazen vessels, and of tables. Then the Pharisees and scribes asked him, why walk not the disciples according to the tradition of the elders, but eat bread with unwashed hands? He answered and said unto them, well hath Isaiah prophesied of you hypocrites, as it is written, this people honoreth me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. Howbeit in vain do they worship me, teaching for doctrines the commandments of men. For laying aside the commandment of God, ye hold the tradition of men, as the washing of pots and cups, and many other such like things ye do. And he said unto them, full well ye reject the commandment of God, that ye may keep your own tradition. For Moses said, honor thy father and thy mother. And whoso curseth father or mother, let him die the death. But ye say, if a man shall say to his father or mother, it is korban, that it is to say a gift, by whatsoever thou mightest be profited by me, he shall be free. And ye suffer him no more to do aught for his father or his mother, making the word of God of none effect through your tradition, which ye have delivered in many such like things, do ye. And when he called all the people unto him, he said unto them, hearken unto me, every one of you, and understand, there is nothing from without a man that entering into him can defile him. But the things which come out of him, those are they that defile the man. If any man have ears to hear, let him hear. And when he was entered into the house from the people, his disciples asked him concerning the parable. And he saith unto him, are ye so without understanding also? Do ye not perceive that whatsoever thing from without entereth into the man, it cannot defile him, because it entereth not into his heart, but into the belly, and goeth out into the draught, purging all meats. And he said, that which cometh out of the man, that defileth the man. For from without, or for from within, out of the heart of men, proceed evil thoughts, adulteries, fornications, murders, thefts, covetousness, wickedness, deceit, lasciviousness, an evil eye, blasphemy, pride, foolishness. All these evil things come from within and defile the man. Let's pray together. Father, we thank you, Lord, for the Word of God. We pray that it would help us tonight. And Lord, no doubt some are battling with thoughts of anger and different things that are going on. We pray, Lord, that you'd strengthen them and help them to be overcomers. Help us, Lord, to bring every idle thought into captivity. Help us, Lord, that we might build our lives according to the Word of God, that we might be the type of child that you would have us to be. And Father, I pray that the Holy Spirit of God would help us. We have a lot of Scripture tonight to understand. And may the Holy Spirit of God guide us into all truth. Help us tonight. Fill me, I pray. And Father, we'll thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Look again, if you will, in verse 20 with me. And Jesus had just shared a parable about how that which defileth a man isn't something that comes from without. You'll remember, as he wrote to the church of Corinth, they were struggling with meat offered to idols. Some were taking that meat home, and they were buying it at a discounted price, and they were taking it home and feeding their families, and some were really upset about that. They said, you shouldn't. That was meat that was offered to idols. And Paul said, what's an idol? It's just a piece of wood. It means nothing to me. But if it offends, I won't eat meat at all. I'll just abstain from eating meat at all. He didn't want to be an offense to other people. And I think that some of this was going on back in the book of Luke. And the Pharisees came and they were worried about unwashing hands. I got thinking about those guys going moose hunting. Those Pharisees wouldn't have had a good time with them at all. I don't imagine they wash a whole lot before they eat. But those Pharisees were all upset because the disciples sat down. They were eating with unwashing hands. And Jesus began to address the bigger issue. He says, you guys are worried about washing your pots and washing your cups and washing your hands. He says, you know, if you eat something, it's not going to defile you. He said, really what the problem is what's coming out of you. That's what's defiling you. And look what the Bible says in verse 20. He says, and he said, that which cometh out of the man, that defileth the man. For from within, out of the heart of men, proceed evil thoughts. Now let me say this tonight before we get too far. We are going to talk about the heart, and we're going to talk about the mind. But in Scripture, a lot of times, those are used interchangeably. Those are things that have to do with the seat of emotion. They have to do with where we store things up. The Bible talks about the renewing of the mind, but it also talks about the cleansing of the heart. And so they're very similar in nature. And so he says that what proceeds from within, out of the heart of men, proceeds evil thoughts. So we tie out of heart, and we tie thoughts together. Now, when I think of thoughts, I think of the mind, but the Bible says, out of the heart proceed these evil thoughts. And these thoughts are what? Adulteries, fornications, murders, thefts, covetousness, wickedness, deceit, lasciviousness, an evil eye, blasphemy, pride, foolishness. All these evil things come from where? Within. And defile the man. You know, we often think of that which is physical, that which is going on the external. We read the police blotter and we see what is going on in our communities. We hear about people being abducted and we hear about people being hurt and murdered. And we hear about all these crimes and places being robbed. And we can picture in our minds somebody going in and causing a physical act of violence. But God said that adultery can come from the heart. And murder can come from the heart. It all comes from within. And it's just the thoughts of man that is also a sin. I don't want to spend a lot of time developing this fact of the battle of the mind. We've already established that this morning, but I want to take some time tonight and help us to understand, first of all, our dilemma. Our dilemma. Now, we often talk about the outward things that we do for God, our works. Now, I want you to understand there's both a spiritual side and a physical side to serving God. Our works are that physical side. That is the thing that we do with our hands for God. So you may teach a class, you may work on a bus, you may help in the nursery, you may go door to door, but we're putting our feet and our body into action. We become the hands of Christ, if you will, going out and serving. That's our works. But everything that is going on inside is our relationship with God. And you say, well, wait a minute, I'm trying to serve God with my hands and I'm trying to do things. That is not your relationship, that is your works. That comes forth from a relationship. The Bible says that we are to love the Lord God with all of our what? Heart, mind, and soul. He never told me to go love Him with my hands or my feet. That's an expression of our love, that is our works. And so it is a very inward thing. So what I'm trying to impress upon your hearts tonight is this, that God is very concerned about our internal. He's very concerned about what's going on in our mind and what's going on in our heart. And that's why we have a dilemma. Turn, if you will, to 2 Corinthians chapter 10. 2 Corinthians chapter 10. If you have something that you use to bookmark a little bit tonight, I would stick your finger in 2 Corinthians chapter 10, put a bookmark there, we'll come back to it again tonight. 2 Corinthians chapter 10. Our dilemma. Now I, Paul, myself beseech you by the meekness and gentleness of Christ, who in presence am base among you, but being absent am bold toward you. But I beseech you that I may not be bold when I am present with that confidence wherewith I think to be bold against some, which think of us as if we walked according to the flesh. So understand what Paul is saying here. Paul is saying, I'm kind of like the rest of you. When I'm over here and I'm writing a letter, I'm real bold. And when I'm coming over to your church, I'm thinking up and I'm cooking up all this big speech I've got for you and how upset I am about some things. But when I get there, I'm not so bold. I get kind of sheepish. Have you ever been there? Have you ever drove over to talk to somebody because you have a problem and you think, man, I'm going to give them a piece. And then you get there and you kind of crumble a little bit. Paul says, I'm more bold when I write a letter. And here's some things you want to write about them, to them about. In verse 3, for though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. Verse 4 speaks of a warfare. A battle. Do you know that I checked it out in the Bible that term warfare is not used very often. It's used in the Old Testament. When it's used in the Old Testament, it's talking about a physical battle. When David went off to war, when King Saul went off to war, when the Israelites battled the Amalekites, we talk about war, and the word warfare is often thrown around quite a bit. But in the New Testament, the only time we ever see the word warfare, it has to do with a spiritual warfare. We are in a battle. And I might say this tonight, sometimes the worst enemy we have is ourselves because of what we are feeding our minds. So we have this warfare, and the Bible says we have some weapons. If you're going to go to war, it's good to have weapons, isn't it? So the Bible says, for the weapons of our warfare are not carnal. What's that mean? They are spiritual. This is a spiritual battle. Now, think about this. Every Christian is prone to sin. One of my favorite preachers, like as far as television preachers go, is I used to really enjoy Adrian Rogers. I don't know why. I just enjoyed his preaching. It just seemed to cut to my heart, and he's a good, solid preacher, and I just enjoyed him. But he said this one time, he says, if you knew what was going on in my heart, you wouldn't let me be your pastor. I thought, wow. Here's a fellow that's honest with himself. He is recognizing that this is not a carnal battle, this is a spiritual battle. This is something that, and by the way, you say, well, you know what, in life we just pick our battles. This is a battle you need to pick. This is a battle that is worth fighting. We need to recognize tonight that the battle that is going on in our mind is a spiritual battle and therefore can only be conquered spiritually. It's a battle. Now the Bible says, if you'll read in verse 5, casting down imaginations. That word casting down means to throw down with force, to cast out violently. God's saying, in other words, we're going to come back to this passage tonight when we talk about the solutions to these problems. But I want you to notice that God is so concerned about our imaginations and the things going on in our heart and in our mind that he says, you need to cast it out violently. Don't let it have any part in your house or in your mind. So casting down. The word imaginations is referring to fantasy. Referring to fantasy, that which is contrary and hostile to God. I heard a while ago that there's this video game, I can't remember what it's called, but it's a race car game, and it's something about where somebody steals a car, Grand Theft Auto, is that what it's called? And literally, they steal this car, and one of the goals in the game is to run over as many pedestrians as you can. Just run them down in the streets and try to get away and try to escape and just run them over and watch the blood fly and the heads fly off and the arms fly off. That is an imagination. That is an altered reality. We ought to be careful feeding our minds that stuff. Because the Bible says, I want you to cast down imaginations. Because I wonder sometimes later on if that desensitizes us to sin. Well, it's no big deal. I ran over 1,000 people today. But it desensitizes us, and we need to be careful of those things that we are feeding ourselves, those imaginations. A lot of people today, they'll sit and dream, well, if I only had $1 million, here's what I would do. No, that's not faith. That's not relying upon God. That's an imagination. Sometimes fantasies take us into mental adultery. Sometimes our fantasies take us into being covetous of somebody else. I remember one time when I was in Bible college, I walked out of the cafeteria, and I was with the dean of men for whatever reason, Brother Ed Hewlett, and I was an assistant, resident assistant, so I worked with him, and we were just walking out. We'd had lunch together, and we were walking back to wherever we had to go, and somebody had come down there, and they'd parked a Lamborghini right there in the, we called it the pit, and it was kind of down in a hill, and it was a parking lot there. And I said, Brother Hewlett, you're going to have to forgive me. I'm getting a little covetous. And I was just joking. And he says, oh, be careful where your mind takes you, is what he said. Because that's true. Sometimes we see something we want so bad, we become covetous. That's your imagination. It's not something that God has given you. It's not something God has intended you to have. So the Bible says we are to cast down imaginations, protect ourselves from those things. And he explains it a little bit further in verse 5. And everything that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God. Those things aren't helping your spiritual walk. This is our dilemma in the age that we live in. This fantasy world that exists. Now, I'm not talking about witches and warlocks, so we're in October now, and so there is that fantasy world. There's the fantasy world of video games, and there's the fantasy world. I'm talking about born-again Christians that are fantasizing about a better life, fantasizing about millions of dollars, and fantasizing about that new car. And listen, be content with what God has given you, because the Bible says we are to cast down those things. That is a fantasy world. If God blesses you with you, praise the Lord, it becomes reality. But until then, trust in Him. Then the Bible says that we are to, in the same verse, bringing into captivity. That means to take control over. To be accountable for. I told you this morning, you remember the soldier that was placed outside of the jailer that was placed outside of Paul and Silas. When he thought they escaped, he was going to kill himself. Because he was accountable for those men. And he was going to be killed because of his lack of whatever, doing his job. Not guarding those men like he should have, even though it was an angel that shook the door and the earthquake came as they sang at midnight. They were going to kill him. So he understood he was accountable. When we bring our thoughts into captivity, we are taking control over and being accountable for. And the Bible says, what are we to be accountable for? What are we to bring into captivity? Every thought. Every thought to the obedience of Christ. James chapter 4, turn there if you will. James chapter 4, get your fingers ready. We're going to do some Bible hunting tonight. James chapter 4, verse 7. Submit yourselves therefore to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Draw nigh to God, and he will draw nigh to you. Cleanse your hands, ye sinners, and purify your hearts, ye double-minded. Be afflicted and mourn and weep. Let your laughter be turned to mourning and your joy to heaviness. Humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and He shall lift you up. Look what it says in verse 8. Draw nigh to God, He will draw nigh to you. Cleanse your hands, ye sinners. Purify your hearts, ye double-minded. The heart and the mind always go together. And he says, these without a pure heart have a double mind. The Bible says a double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. And look what it says right after. It says, purify your hearts. Be afflicted and mourn and weep. What is the author saying? He's saying this is something we ought to take real serious. This is not something we ought to just brush under the carpet. This is something that is vital for our lives. And so let's be careful to be sure that we understand. Romans chapter 12 says this, be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Here's our dilemma tonight. We struggle with our thoughts. The Bible says that our thought is something we are to love the Lord God with all our heart, our mind, and our soul. That's something we are to give to God. And yet the devil is seeking to destroy it. That's our dilemma. But I want you to know God has a solution for it. There is a call to spiritual warfare found in scriptures to the battlefield of the mind. And here's the key. We must recognize we have a problem with our thoughts. We must recognize that. I think sometimes I've learned this. When we're trying to fix up our flower beds, don't come over and look at them. I'm telling you, we do not have green thumbs. But we tried to clean up them flower beds, and I'm pulling out, there was an old bush there or something. I pulled that. I just grabbed the thing. I hooked it on the trailer hitch, and I just yanked it out. But you know what I left? I left a bunch of roots. So every year I'm getting under the, and I'm cutting it back again, trying to keep it under the dirt. You see, a lot of times we deal with sin like that. We just try to yank it out. We see the outward, the physical manifestation of what is going on in the heart, but we leave the roots there. And so what do all the scriptures we've talked about so far have to do with this? They're telling us, hey, you need to recognize this is a problem that starts here and starts here. It didn't start out here. It didn't start with a physical manifestation. It started in the heart and it started in the mind. And so Paul says, be renewed in your mind, by the renewing of your mind. We see that he wrote to Corinth, he says, you need to cast down imaginations. Why? Because that's where it starts. And so we need to be careful and recognize. Recognition is key. 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 7 says this, for God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love. And what's the next one? And of a sound mind. If you're having problems with your mind, that did not come from God. God gave you a sound mind. That is his desire for your life. Understand that this straying mind does not come from God. 1 John chapter 1, verse 9. We love that verse. If we confess our sin, he is faithful and just to forgive us of our sin and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. You cannot confess what you don't first recognize. It starts here and it starts here. I think sometimes we need to rework our prayer a little bit. God, forgive me for walking over and slapping Paul McPherson. No, your prayer ought to be, God, I got a problem in my heart. I'd have never slapped him if I weren't jealous of him. I would have never slapped him if I didn't get angry with him. It's a problem in the heart and the mind. We ask forgiveness for the physical outward manifestation. We need to get our hearts right with God. It would save a lot of problems going forward. Romans chapter 3 verse 23 says, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Romans 3:10 says, for there is none righteous, no, not one. We've used those verses in telling people about Jesus Christ, but how many of us have ever applied those verses and said to somebody, we're leading to Christ, now this is a sin of the mind, a sin of the heart. The example we always give is something outward, isn't it? I've done the same thing. Lie is the easiest one. I'll say to a child, we'll talk to them, and I'll say, now listen, have you ever told a lie? And they'll say, well, I guess, yeah, I've lied. How many lies does it take to be a liar? Well, I'm not a liar. Well, how many banks do you have to rob to be called a bank robber? Well, just one. Well, then how many lies do you have to tell to be a liar? Well, just one. It's always an outward thing we talk about. But we need to deal with the heart. Now, I wonder if so many people make professions of faith because we've dealt with they think they've washed away these outward sins, but they've never dealt with the sins of the heart. And that's what God is concerned about. So recognize tonight that it's not just an outward visible sin, but it's the sins of the heart and the mind are crucial. That's our dilemma. Here's our defense. Tonight we will take some time, and I want it to be individual. I'm not trying to teach you a soul winning method. I'm not trying to tell you, listen, when next time you lead somebody to Christ, you got to pound away at their heart and try. No, that'll come. What I'm saying tonight is that each one of us need to examine our heart and find out, well, why do I have a short temper? Why do I have a jealousy problem? Why do I struggle with pride? Why do I have this or why do I have that? It starts in the heart. And we need to get that root out of there, that God might cleanse us, not just without, but within as well. Because confession is the key. And in order to confess, we have to recognize. Look at our defense. Turn, if you will, to Proverbs chapter 4. Now get your fingers ready. Proverbs chapter 4. Look at verse 23. I've entitled this section, "Be careful what you feed it." Be careful what you feed it. Proverbs chapter 4, verse 23. "Keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life." Keep thy heart with all diligence. The word "keep" means to guard, to preserve with fidelity. Guard your heart. Guard your heart. Guard your heart. I mean, if we have something that is precious and valuable to us, we guard it, don't we? Sometimes we have a safe at the church. When the offering comes in, the men, you'll see sometimes two and three men go out, and what they're doing, they're putting the money in the safe. They're guarding it. Some of you ladies have some jewelry, perhaps. Maybe your husband gave you something, and so you say, well, I'm going to put that in a safe place. I want that to be safe. How many of you, when you wrote your will, made sure that you put that will in a safe place? Things that are important, we put in a safe place. What is more important than your heart? That's what you're supposed to give to God. Love the Lord thy God with all your heart. He says, guard your heart. And then he says, keep it with all diligence. With all diligence is the added thought to guard it like a prison. Guard it like a prison. We had to go visit somebody in a jail one time. Let me tell you, do you know how hard it is to get in one of those places? It is easier to get in if I went and stole a car than it is just as a preacher to go in and visit. It's difficult. You go through all kinds of security. They make you take off all your coats and everything, and then they scan you up and down, and you have to fill out a bunch of paperwork. And they want three or four pieces of ID. And then for me as a pastor to go in regularly and visit fellas, I had to wait 3 weeks for a security check to come back. I had to be bonded. I had to be this. I had to be that. Just to go in and visit somebody in the jail. They guard those things. The Bible says we are to guard our hearts diligently. That is our defense. Be careful what you feed it. Guard your heart. Listen, here's the thing. You can blame the world all you want, but ultimately you are responsible for how you guarded your heart. The devil's always going to act like the devil. The world is always going to be the world. And the Bible says, evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse. It's not going to get any better. Brother Houston, he was a missionary over in Holland, and he said, boy, Holland is a very permissive society. And he says, you couldn't drive down the road, the billboards, he says, my daughters had to look at. And we started a game when our kids were little. We called it duck. And he says, we'd be driving around, and I'd yell duck, and all the kids would dive down and put their heads down. They thought it was a fun game. They didn't know I was protecting their eyes from a billboard on the side of the road. Listen, it's creeping in Canada very quickly. We need to guard our hearts with all diligence, for out of it flow forth the issues of life. You can blame the world, but you're responsible. Look at Psalm chapter 101. Psalm chapter 101. Boy, every one of us knows somebody that loves to blame everybody else for their problems, don't we? You ever get tired of that? They're the perfect little victim. Oh, well, you don't understand society. Hey, I understand that the Holy Spirit of God dwells within your heart, and he's asked you to come out from among them and be ye separate. He said, be ye holy as Christ is holy. He said, touch not the unclean thing. That is your responsibility to keep your heart clean. Psalm chapter 101. Careful there, I almost started preaching. Psalm 101. Where's my verse? There it is. Verse 3. I will set no wicked thing before mine eyes. I hate the work of them that turn aside. It shall not cleave to me. What is he saying? I'm making a conscious effort to be careful what I feed myself. What I feed my heart, what I feed my mind. I will set no wicked thing before my eyes. Look at the next verse. A froward heart shall depart from me. I will not know a wicked person. I'm going to be careful, my friends. Because friends feed you too. Do you know that? They put ideas and things in your mind. That word froward means twisted, distorted, crooked, and perverse. Be careful what you're feeding yourself. Guard your heart. Turn back to 2 Corinthians chapter 10. Be careful what you feed it. But I want you to notice in 2 Corinthians chapter 10, we're to take heed how you fight it. There's a battle that is waging, and we must fight. 2 Corinthians chapter 10. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but look what the next thing says, but mighty through God. You know what Paul said? He said that when I'm in the flesh, I don't do the things I ought to do. The things I ought to do, I'm not doing. The things I shouldn't be doing, I am doing. Oh, wretched man that I am. I paraphrase that whole thing, you understand. That's one of the most difficult tongue twisters in the Bible to memorize. But you catch the drift. When I'm in the flesh, when I'm carnal, the things I shouldn't be doing, I am doing. The things I should be doing, I'm not doing because I'm in the flesh. But Paul says the battle that we wage is not carnal. It is not fleshly. It is mighty through God. Can I give you a few scriptures? If God be for us, who can be against us? We are more than conquerors through Him that loved us. I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. Greater is He that is in me than he that is in the world. There is a spiritual battle that requires a spiritual approach. Listen, Oprah's not going to help you with this. I'm not telling you a joke. Dr. Phil isn't going to help you with this. All the idiot guides to whatever that are out in the bookshelves aren't going to help you to this. This is a spiritual issue. This is your connection to God, your soul, your spirit, your heart, your mind. If God has commanded us to love Him with those things, that is our connection, our relationship with God. It is a spiritual issue that we must deal with. You're not going to fight it on your own. You'll never fight in the flesh. I can do all things through Christ. We are more than conquerors through Him. Greater is He that is in me than he that is in the world. It is a battle. These weapons of our warfare are mighty, but they're only mighty through God. We have to give the battle to Him. Look at Romans chapter 7. Romans chapter 7. Verse 22. For I delight in the law of God after the inward man. Isn't that what we're talking about tonight? The inward man? But I see another law in my members, warring against the law of my mind, and bringing me into captivity to the law of sin, which is in my members. Here's the truth we need to get tonight. One side's going to win. One side's going to win. He said, if this law of sin wins, I'm going to be in captivity to it. If my members get their way, that's his flesh. If my carnal self gets its way, if my flesh gets its way, it's going to have the victory, and I'm going to be brought in captivity, the law of sin. But he says, but my mind, if it can get the victory through Jesus Christ, there's a war going on. We must have the victory. Turn, if you will, to Ephesians chapter 6. Ephesians chapter 6, I'm going to give you four things that will help you with this battle. Ephesians chapter 6. Verse 10, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. There's two things, first of all, you need to recognize tonight. First of all, we need to recognize there is a spiritual battle going on within us. That is the root of the problem. It is not a makeover that we need. It is not a, some people say, well, I'm having a real rough time. I think I'll go shopping. That's not what you need. I need a new suit of clothes. I need a new hairstyle. I need a new boyfriend or whatever it might be. That is not the problem. The problem is in the heart. We need to recognize that problem. And if it's a sin problem in our heart, we need to confess it to God and get forgiveness and get the root of that problem taken care of. And the second thing we need to recognize is this, that we can only be victorious in Christ. There's no other way to win this battle. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. Put on the whole armor of God. It's not ours. That you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand, withstand in the evil day, and having done all to stand. Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith he shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. Here's what I need to say to you tonight. You say, well, I'm not much for this battle, and I don't know how far I can go in this battle. You can do verse 17 and 18. Verse 17 says, we need the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. You can read your Bible. Remember what I said earlier about how you feed yourself? You need to be in the Word of God. If you're having an anger problem, get in the Word of God. If you're having a problem with the things you're seeing, get in the Word of God. And then verse 18 says, praying always with all prayer. I'm going to be honest with you. Somebody say, well, preacher, what is your best counsel? My best counsel always is, are you reading your Bible and are you praying? Well, no, not much else I can do for you until you do. Because if you're not willing to listen to God, why would you ever listen to me? I've been criticized for that approach. I don't care, frankly. Because if you're not going to read your Bible and you're not going to pray, nothing I can say is going to help your carnal spirit. I'm just telling you the truth. So people will get upset and say, well, that's all you got for me? That's all? Listen, are you reading your Bible? I'll give them a Bible reading schedule. I'll give them everything they need to systematically read the Bible, to read specific passages that will help with their problem. But if they're not willing to read their Bible, I can't help you. We get people calling in and say, well, do you do counseling? I sure do. My counsel is, do you go to church? No, I don't really go to church. I can't help you. You're in disobedience. I'm sorry. It's not that I don't want to help you. But you're not willing to submit to God. That's a spiritual inward problem. And people get upset about that, but I'm going to be honest with you. They're not going to accept counsel from God. They don't need my counsel. They need the Word of God. And they need prayer. And they need fellowship with God's people. They need to get into the Word. So Bible reading and prayer. Romans chapter 12. Turn there. I've quoted it several times today, but I want you to read it with me. Romans chapter 12. I said I'd give you four things. Ephesians 6 was one. Put on the armor of God. Recognize it as a spiritual battle and start getting into the Bible and praying. I don't know if anybody's seen it or not, but I hear that there's a Christian film that just came out called The War Room. I've not seen it. I don't know much about it. But apparently the whole movie is about the power of prayer. And if you don't pray, you're not in the battle. Do you hear what I said? If you're not praying, you are not in the battle. I don't know a thing about the movie, but that was the little catch slogan I caught on one of the something that they put out. I get magazines, you know, and I get emails and from Christian publications, and I saw this as it just says, if you're not praying, you're not in the battle. I thought, boy, that's good. It is a spiritual battle. Get on your knees and pray. Romans chapter 12. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. Now, the renewing of your mind means a complete change. Now, we have to compare Scripture with Scripture. So turn to Titus chapter 3, and let's see what it says about this renewal. Titus chapter 3. Some of you are saying, I didn't even know Titus had three chapters. Titus chapter 3. It's that little book right before Philemon and Hebrews. Titus chapter 3, look what it says in verse 5. Not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy he saved us, by the washing of regeneration, and there's that word again, and renewing of what? The Holy Ghost. Remember what I said? It's a spiritual battle. Be transformed by the renewing of your mind. How do we renew anything in this Christian walk? We're renewed by the Holy Ghost. The Word of God enlightens us and the Holy Spirit changes us. The Bible says we are to walk in the Spirit that we fulfill not the lust of the flesh. Are you filled with the Spirit? You see, this is simple. The thing that we miss sometimes is that the answer for most of our problems is always the same. Get into the Word of God, get praying, and be filled with the Spirit of God. And the first two answers for this tonight's the same thing. Put on the armor of God. What is the armor of God? The sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, praying with all prayers and supplication. Are we before God? And thirdly, we are to be renewed. How are we renewed? By the Holy Ghost. Walk in the Spirit of God, that you fulfill not the lust of the flesh. And then we've got to be concerned about what we're feeding ourselves. Turn to Philippians chapter 4. Philippians chapter 4. I don't hear as many Bibles. You're getting tired on me. Hang on just a little bit longer. Philippians chapter 4. I let you sit down for the whole service. I had to stand up, so you can make it. Philippians chapter 4. Philippians chapter 4. We're talking about the battle of the mind. Look what he says in verse 8. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of a good report, if there be any virtue and if there be any praise, think on these things. You say, well, how do I just cut off? Start thinking about other things. Think about good things. Think about pure things, holy things, right things. I don't know about you, but I can't often think about two things at once. Can you do that? Has anybody got that gift? My wife has the gift. It's called, I need to talk to you about something important when there's two outs in the bottom of the ninth. And she'll come and she'll start, and the bases are loaded. Edwin Encarnacion's up to bat. And I'm watching, you know, I'm trying to pay attention, but my eye is drawn. And then she'll say, you didn't hear a thing I said. Honestly, no, I didn't. It's hard to focus on two things at once, isn't it? To really give attention to two different things. And he says, listen, here's a simple trick. Start thinking on things that are just and right and pure and holy and good. Think on these things. You won't have time to think of that other stuff. Start filling your heart and your mind with good things. Put the good things. I will set no evil thing before my eyes. Start setting some good things before your eyes. Put some scripture around your house. Put some things around your home that help you. Somebody gave my wife a little scripture plaque up on top of the piano. She's got it sitting up there on top of the piano. And I realized yesterday, I walked by it for, you know, the 10th or 11th time since she's had it, since her birthday. And I thought, I've memorized that verse. I didn't even try to. Just by walking by that sign and reading it every time I walk by, I've got it memorized now. I thought, man, that's a good principle. We ought to have those things in front of us. Do you have the things before your eyes that you ought to, are you feeding yourself? Like, you just think on these good things. Then look at Colossians chapter 3. If ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affections on things above, not on the things on the earth. In other words, reprogram your appetites. So how do you do that? I think I've told you this before. Every once in a while, I get on a little health kick, and I'll start eating salads and yogurt and all that stuff that I don't even want to think about right now. But I'll tell you what, if I eat it for 3 or 4 or 5 days, all of a sudden I don't like the sight of a greasy cheeseburger. My appetites start to change because you start feeling better. You don't get all that bloated feeling after you eat, and you feel better, and you go, oh man, I got more energy. I'm not waking up. I'm not having nightmares at night because I had a greasy hamburger for supper. It just, all of a sudden, your appetite starts changing. Somebody will bring you out that big old greasy, and you go, I really don't think I want that. But you just have one of those things, and boy, your appetites change back so fast. Start developing your spiritual appetite. Set your affection on things above. If it helps, do this. Get out a piece of paper and start comparing. What does God have to offer and what does the world have to offer? Can I tell you, God's going to win every time? Nobody on this side sent his son to die for you. Nobody on this side has gone to prepare a place for you. Nobody on this side truly loves you. The world, the Bible says, the lust of the eyes, the lust of the flesh, and the pride of life, that's what the world is. It has nothing to offer. The Bible says we are to renew our minds. All of these verses we've looked at, they all point to one thing. Reprogram our minds. Be renewed in the Spirit of God. Get your thought life straight with God. That's going to take some Bible reading. That's going to take some prayer. That's going to take... Listen, sitting at home and missing church, that's not going to help you spiritually. That's not going to help you at all. You say, well, I don't like the preacher. What about the singing, the music? What about the worship? Preaching's not the only thing that goes on at church. Somebody says to me, well, I don't like that guy you had in to preach, Pastor. I don't like that guy you had in to preach. I say, well, that's an attitude problem. Because when most people are getting blessed by God and one or two people, hey, come on, let's get our hearts right. Every preacher has a different style, different cadence, and different talk. But they're preaching the Word of God. And boy, we need it. We are in a battle for our minds and our hearts. And God says, I want your mind and I want your heart. I want you to love me with your soul, your mind, your spirit. I want it all. That's where the problem is. That's where we have to start. Get into the Word of God, pray, be renewed by the Holy Ghost, walk in the Spirit. You know, nowhere in the Bible does it say that we need to pray and ask God to fill us with the Spirit, but go ahead, you have not because you ask not. I don't think it's wrong to ask. But have you ever just completely surrendered to the Spirit of God? Just let Him just take control of your life? Boy, it'll change you. You let Him have control. You say, you just come in and cleanse my heart and make me right. Then start thinking on the right things. Philippians chapter 4, Colossians 3, set your affections on things above. That is the prescription. That is the Bible way to reset our minds on the things that God wants us thinking about. Let's pray tonight. Father, thank you for your love for us. Help us, Lord, to understand that that's where the battle is and that we can have victory through Jesus Christ, but we must surrender to Him tonight and begin to rebuild our lives with a godly discipline of being in the Word, being in prayer, being faithful to church, and putting the world behind us. The Bible says in Isaiah, thou wilt keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee because he trusteth in thee. Help us to keep our mind on you. Help us to think on the right things. Father, bless our invitation, we pray. We'll thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's stand tonight with our heads bowed and our eyes closed. And would you do business with God tonight? You know that besetting sin that it talks about in Hebrews? That's a problem in the heart. That's where it all starts. Would you surrender that and get it right with God tonight? Young people, maybe you got some music issues. You're feeding your mind the wrong things. I don't think he'll mind if I tell you this. Brother Norris was telling me the other day that if he's in a restaurant or something and it's playing the wrong kind of music, he starts feeling his anger come up in his heart. Because that's from his past. That's a powerful medium that just feeds and grates against the things of God. That music can destroy your mind. Maybe some of you are struggling with your thought life. Young men struggle with looking at girls and pictures and things. Give it to God. It'll destroy your life. Destroy your life. Destroy your marriage. Struggling with anger? Give it to God. It's a heart problem. Get into the Word. Get into prayer. Set your affections on things above. Somebody would like to help you tonight, pray with you. Would you come? Some are still praying. We'll just wait a moment longer. Amen. You may be seated. God bless you. Thank you for being here tonight. We're going to have a meeting just after the service back in the Olive Room about our fair participation. If you'd like to be involved and you haven't signed up yet, please come and meet us back there. We'll make sure you have a job. There's some shifts left. But we'll be explaining some of the things that we'll be doing at the fair. Brother McPherson, you come and close our service.
Thank you, preacher. We don't have it so bad. I was in the courthouse a couple of weeks ago as a character reference, and I had to sit there in a hard pew without any padding for about an hour, and it was getting pretty sore. We haven't got it so bad in here. We got padded pews and a beautiful place to come to, air conditioned in the summertime and real nice heat in the wintertime. Such freedom we have. Cantata practice October 19th, Monday night, 7 o'clock. We'll be meeting in the Olive Room. And the Christmas cantata is December the 12th and the 13th. Flyers for our Christmas cantata will be ready this week to hand out. So please get some and hand them out. If you would like to participate in the Christmas cantata this year, we would love to have you. The church is putting together a special Remembrance Day display to put in the foyer for Sunday, November 8th. If you have any war items that you would be willing to let us borrow, please speak to Cindy Fett. We are looking for items such as pictures or small items to go on the table. Let's bow for a word of prayer. Father, we're so thankful for your love for us. Thank you for the message tonight, Lord. Help us to guard our hearts, casting down imaginations, Lord. Help us to stay close to you in your word and in prayer. And watch what we see, what we listen to, Lord, and where we go, and what we handle. Be with our heart, Lord. Bless this people, Lord. I pray that you'd give them a good day, a good week, and that you would bring us back here Wednesday night for prayer service. We do pray for Wilford, Lord Broughton, that you'd undertake for him, and for Sandra Rasky, Lord, that you'd encourage her and heal her up. Thank you that the operation went well. We pray your dismissal upon your blessing upon our dismissal, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you. You are dismissed.